everyone. I'm Eric D'Souza, and you're listening to Crime Writers of Canada's podcast, where we discuss all things crime fiction with crime writing authors from coast to coast. One thing at Crime Writers of Canada that I always like to celebrate is when an author publishes their first book. So joining me today is Lori McClure. Hi, Lori. How are you?
Hi, Eric. I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Let's start with a bio for us all to get to know you a little bit better. Lori has a passion for crime fiction and for those who read it, write it, edit, and publish it. She enjoys writing diverse characters with complex problems within dynamic settings. A graduate of what is now known as McEwen University, Lori garnered significant writing experience throughout her career. This included the Government of Alberta Department of Culture at the Legal Aid Society of Alberta, and while working and volunteering with a variety of nonprofit organizations. Happily retired, Lori is now a full-time writer working on her second book. We're here to celebrate the publication of her first book, Mountain Shadows. Lori, how did it feel to publish this book?
Oh, thanks, Eric. It was thrilling. It was something that I had thought about doing for a long time. To actually hold the book in my hand was a moment I'll never forget. And I had a real sense of accomplishment.
I don't know if it's the same for everybody, but I know for me, other than holding my child for the first time, just below that was like when that first paperback arrived. Did you get that feeling?
I had that feeling. I know both feelings, and it was right up there, I tell you. it was a thrill. I felt that I had done something I had wanted to do for years.
I read in your bio that it's taken you a long time to get through it. But you also said that you had a lot of inspiration from not only the writers, but also like the entire craft of writing novels, crime novels specifically. So could you tell us a little bit about who inspired you?
Oh, I'm happy to do that. As a young girl, I was always a reader. I went from the Nancy Drew era to the Agatha Christie era to many other eras. And now I'm happy to say that I am a fan of so many that I could hardly name them all. But a few come to mind that are members of the Crime Writers of Canada family, like Tessa Weygert, who really helped me with an event in New York City this past June. Shari Lupina, who I met in Iceland. Jonathan Whitelaw, who you interviewed, who is just a wonderful writer, and I'm a big fan of his work. And many others, like Catherine Ryan Howard, Irish authors like Liz Nugent. So many. I love cozies. I love thrillers. I love police procedurals. I love them all. And how lucky are we that we're living in another golden era, I think, of crime fiction.
I have to agree with you. And one thing that seems to be coming back that I'm so thrilled that it's coming back is sort of these closed room, rural, remote locations, which you wrote about. You know, it makes me think of like, And Then There Was None, and all these classic novels that I'm so happy they're coming back. So you obviously settled on that. So why did you choose that one of all the?
Oh, I've always loved an isolated location. And if that isolated location is spectacular in scenery, even better. I love the closed circle element. It is not a stranger who breaks into a house that's done it. It's somebody you have breakfast with. You know, that type of idea has always thrilled me. The fact that ordinary people can do horrific things to others is both frightening and fascinating. So in fiction, it's just so much fun to write. So yes, get everybody away, get them trapped, throw things at them and make them survive or try to.
Yeah, and I'm glad even some of the names that you mentioned, they're going back to this sort of classic style. For me, Amber Cowie's novel, which is set in my homeland of BC, Last One Alive. It just reminds me of all those old classics. And I just, this is why I'm enjoying reading your book so much.
Oh, great. Thank you, Eric.
I have to admit, though, I skipped to the end, as I often do, just to read the acknowledgments. And if you don't mind, I'd like to read yours, just the beginning, because you talk about your journey.
Yes.
So writing my debut novel began as a personal challenge. I had no idea the amount of work and joy it would bring. I started and stopped writing multiple times over multiple years. I know now how not to write a book. When I finally committed to finishing, That's when the magic happened. There's no shortcuts. I believe it takes three things to write a novel: imagination, a bit of talent, but more than anything else, it takes discipline. Now, I know you're writing your second novel right now. Yes, do you still feel that discipline is the key?
More than ever. There is something called the second book syndrome, I understand, and I am living it. I guess the excitement of a debut fuels that discipline. Book two, you now know how arduous it is. And so book two is coming along, but it is slower than I anticipated. So discipline still is the main factor. Life got in the way of book one. I was lucky enough to take early retirement from the government of Alberta, where I wrote as part of my job. And then I was caring for my father in his final years. And then my husband and I were traveling the world. So we were doing things, and somehow writing got put on the back burner. But I'd be in Australia and a character profile would pop into my head. I'd be in Ireland and I'd think of a scene, and it never went away. That was what was fascinating, is that this book needed to be written. And it, when I had the time, of course, when we all had time in 2020, I decided this was going to be the project that would see me through. And it did. And it was great. It took me longer than I thought. And I did many drafts. And then I did something magical. I went to, when we were able to travel again, I went to Iceland Noir, and I went to Thriller Fest, in the two major writing festivals at different times. And I learned more at those events than I would have ever thought possible. And then I was able to polish the last of it and submit it and have it not looked at by literary agents. I talk about Tessa Weggert. I was in the slush pile of agents from all over North America waiting to hear back. And I commiserated on through my friendship with Tessa on Instagram. And she said, come to Pitch Fest. It's part of Thriller Fest in June in New York City. And we will have 60 literary agents in five ballrooms on the second floor of the Sheraton in Manhattan, situated between Times Square and Central Park. How could I resist? So Pitch Fest is a wonderful event. And I know other writing festivals have pitching elements. And I highly encourage anyone who is trying to get their novel out there to participate. It was such a learning opportunity for me. And I was able to get to 10 literary agents, nine of whom asked to see my manuscript or part of my manuscript. So it was a huge success that way. What follows was as much of a success, but I again felt the validation and learned so much, and have great respect for literary agents. They know what they can sell and what they can't sell. And while we were speed dating with 3 minutes together, I was told that my premise was very, very strong. When I got the feedback back from them after they had read my submissions, they told me my writing was strong, I had a compelling premise, and the plot was intriguing. The story was gripping, and all these compliments that just made me feel better about it, knowing that I hadn't created garbage. But at the same time, there was no offer of representation. So I moved forward to self-publishing, and I'm not sorry I did.
I think you tried harder than I did, but I got to the same direction myself. That the book industry is so tight right now, and the margins are so little, that I personally enjoy the freedom of self-publishing and putting out the product that I like.
And, good. Me too.
Just from reading from the lines of independent authors, I mean, for the most part, most readers do not know when they're on Amazon if they're reading self-published or traditionally published work. And that's, as long as we do a good job as self-published authors, you know, buy whatever services we need to get us to the finish line. I enjoy being self-published. How are you enjoying it?
Well, I like the freedom of not having that looming deadline. I have my own deadlines. I'm, again, somebody who likes the structure of it. I have a goal in mind, an end date in mind. I do multiple drafts and revisions. I will have it professionally edited. It's not sloppy work. It's, but it is my choice, and I like that. So it does have some element of freedom to it.
Well, let's talk about the book itself. One thing I often ask authors is how their personal career affects their work. I'm not going to ask you that because I'm going to ask you about Nicola's career.
Yes.
It comes across what she does. So it can tell us a little bit about her career, but also how it affects her personality.
Right. Oh, thank you for picking up on that. Nicola Henderson is a victim services advocate who has a stalker. She has created a family for herself that she didn't have, and she holds on tight to it. It's a little shaky, to say the least. She has two young children. She has a husband who always seems to have one foot out the door going somewhere. And she has Barnaby, the beautiful lab that I just love and wish I owned. So she has a dynamic family. Her dedication to victims of crime is all-consuming. The crimes can involve anything from helping people get professional sanitation, cleaning after an arson fire, to the most horrific violence that they've endured, helping people prepare for court if it's a case of elder financial abuse, doing victim impact statements, all of the elements of that work she dedicates herself to. What she doesn't do is look after herself and her own needs. And I think a lot of readers have resonated with that, that there is always something to be done for someone else. Perhaps she needs some strength right now for herself because she is vulnerable. She's been getting notes at work that say, see you soon. And then a very sinister delivery arrives at her home and it changes everything.
As much as I enjoy reading about her family, I also know as a writer, it's very challenging to give your characters a family, especially small children. Yep. You're writing a thriller. We know the golden rule, don't hurt children or dogs. I mean, everybody else is okay, but still even having them in the picture is difficult. Yes. One thing, I mean, I've even heard Ian Rankin say that he didn't like his choice to give Rebus a pet at one point because you have to worry about where it is all the time.
Yes, you do. Yes, that's funny. Yeah, it's true. I had one of my best friends said to me, promise me nothing will ever happen to Barnaby. And I made that promise. No, the children are safe. Barnaby's safe. But they do come in handy when you need somebody to do something. Where young Bennett, who's 8, who's very curious, plays spy, plays secret agent games, he gets into places that the other characters wouldn't be able to. And Kira is the young walking hormone of a daughter that ignites some tension. And that's handy, too.
Yeah, and all your tension, too. You do seem to enjoy the humor also. And
I try to weave humor in. I think it's disarming when something, you know, bad is happening and then something funny happens. I just want to distract and manipulate and have fun and play as much as I can. And if I crack myself up, maybe that's just a little indication that some good things are happening. I don't overuse it. I try to be strategic, and I think that a nice sprinkle is a good thing.
So did you get that from Jonathan Whitelaw? He teaches that a lot.
He's the best. Well, I'll tell you the story about Jonathan Whitelaw. We don't know each other. I'm just a fan, and I follow him on Instagram. He posted something about a blizzard that happened last weekend, and I commiserated, having driven through the blizzard on the Anthony Handy Ring Road in Edmonton area, which he said, oh, it's always a nightmare to drive on, something like that. And so now he friended me. So according to my calculations, we're best friends. So that's how it works. But his, I can't wait for the Concert Hall Killer, I think, is the next one coming up for him. So I'm very excited about his books. But what I've found is that Instagram, and you know this as your social media expert that you are for Crime Writers of Canada, Instagram has changed the game. When you can connect with an author in Ireland or across the world and ask them for advice, that's something I would recommend any debut or wannabe debut author do. Sometimes authors will have an Ask Me Anything opportunity on their platform, and I have asked 100 questions to 100 different authors, and they respond. And that reaching out and helping someone who's struggling, it's just a beautiful thing. And I really do appreciate and won't forget some of the folks that have helped me along the way and anything I can do to help somebody else that may be just a half a step behind where I'm at, I'm happy to do.
Another thing that I found that you challenged yourself with is the large cast.
Yes.
You have quite a lot of people at the Mountain Lodge. And having a cast that size is difficult because you don't want to have two-dimensional characters. I know Agatha Christie was sometimes accused of doing that. Right. But in modern literature, we try to avoid it as best we can.
Right.
Why did you give yourself a challenge of so many people at that cabin?
It was a challenge. And I am thinking differently with book two. However, some of them will be coming back. There is a couple of factors that I had in mind. I grouped them. I had a group of three young women. I had a group of three young men. So I grouped them, trying to make each of them look quite different from each other, but kind of put them as a lump. So it helped readers kind of follow them along. I would do it differently next, had I known, I would have shortened the length of the character list. However, they each served a purpose. So, I'm torn on that one. There are a couple of things I would do differently. I would probably cull the cast, and I would probably have the dead body come up a little bit earlier in the book than it does, although arguments are that it does appear in the prologue. But so there are a couple of things that live and learn, right? You get better as an author the more you write. So structurally, I understand that it was a handful juggling all the people. Where are they? I have at one point one person both inside and outside the lodge. So at the same time, so you have to really have a chart and carefully keep track of everyone. So it was a juggle, and it was people seem to have been able to follow along. But yes, it is a good comment, and I wouldn't recommend it.
I did it myself, so this is why I could comment on it. It's like I didn't realize how challenging it was going to be until I tried to do it.
There's three young men, three young women. There's a family of four and two staff, and a single woman that checks in. So yes, that's a lot.
Live and learn, right?
Right.
Excellent. So it was a pleasure talking with you today. Any last comments?
No, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity. I was thrilled when I got your email. I love Crime Writers of Canada. I was a member long before I had a finished novel, and it's a great organization. And I think that we have lots of fun things in store. I'm looking forward to the new website that was just announced, and hopefully my information will be up and readily available for people to find.
Thank you to everyone listening today. There's been a spike in downloads in the podcast, and I truly appreciate that you are listening. Canada has an abundance of fantastic crime writers, and I'm so happy to help promote them. As I've said at the beginning, we at the CWC love celebrating when any of our longtime amateur members take that leap into professional writing. If you are in a similar position as Lori, please contact me at webinar@crimewritersofcanada.com. And as Lori mentioned, check out our newly redesigned website, crimewritersofcanada.com. There is a lot of hard work put into it by the board, but specifically Donnelly Moulton, Winona Kent, and Hyacinth Miller, and especially our professional web developer, Stephen Butters at SpartyPants.com. Once again, thank you for listening, and thank you, Lori McClure, for coming on the show.
Thank you, Eric.